Let's talk critical care in the air. And of course, I'm talking about Mercy Flight Central, based on Brickyard Road in my hometown of Canandaigua. We have Jeff Bartowski, the CEO and director down there. And let me ask you this first. Pandemic-wise, what went down? Were you guys still flying?
We did. You know, a critical service like that, you'd hope it doesn't shut down in a pandemic, and we certainly didn't. We were able to keep going 24/7, 365. We actually saw, initially we did see a decrease in the number of patients. I think part of it was just we were all hunkering down there right away when the pandemic came. And then, but after that, volume stayed down for a little while because people just weren't going to hospitals. It's a sad story. You never think about it, but there were some folks that in fear of going to a hospital and getting COVID, they didn't go to a hospital when they needed it for some other reason. I talked to one of our paramedics, for example, and he was telling me a story, not on one of our flights. He also did some work with the ground agency, and he said he went to a home, and the individual had perished, and the spouse had said, yeah, he didn't want to go to the hospital because he didn't want to get COVID. And so literally in that type of tragic situations, you had people critically sick that weren't getting the care they needed at our excellent hospitals. And so with that, you know, we do a lot of flights from smaller rural hospitals to the big hospital centers. And some of those folks just didn't get the care. So we weren't able to do our part and move them from that smaller hospital to the bigger hospital.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that not only do you go to accidents, but you help people that are in a hospital that they need to get to the big hospital, like Strong or something
Strong,
that.
RGH.
Time is a factor.
Right. You know, they're the ones that have those high-end specialties like a catheterization lab or that particular doctor you need to see. And then so you need to get them to those from the smaller hospitals. And we're just that element kind of fits into that overall continuum of care. So we did see our numbers, our volume of flights go down initially. But it's as time went by, people started to get out and about again. And
I was just going to say activity, people's activity, right?
Right, when activity increased and people regained confidence that the hospitals were safe and that's where they needed to go if that's where they needed to go.
Exactly.
So our volume came back up and it really showed overall there's a demand, there's a need for what we do. And so by the time the year ended, we actually had a pretty strong volume. And the other thing that we did was early on we flew and still have flown just as recently as a couple of weeks ago, flew a COVID patient. I mean, have the PPE. We even have unique aspects of PPE people don't think about. We've got a mask that our crews wear that connects to our helmet.
Uh-huh.
And so the internal communications between the flight crew can go on while still being fully protected.
Oh, wow.
So, but on top of that, we have a respirator, for example. Everybody's probably didn't know much about ventilators or respirators.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a ventilator, though, that is better than some smaller hospitals' ventilators. So we have the equipment, the training, the PPE needed. And with that, we've transported some of the most critically sick of the COVID patients.
Well, I think people don't, they may not realize that when they call you guys, these people are in rough shape.
Yeah,
they don't just call you for a broken leg.
Right. So if, one of those super sick patients shows up at a hospital and, whether it's Yates County or southern part of Ontario County, they really need to get to that high-end ICU at Strong or RGH. And so that's where, but you can't transport them just any way. And so we've been able to do that on some of those types of patients.
Now, last time, it's been like a year since we talked.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird?
Too long for so many things.
Isn't it weird? Like, I haven't seen you in a year. You guys had an initiative for getting new birds, right? How's that going?
Yeah. So we've got a lot of new exciting things coming up. We've really, when you talk about our how things go with us, we were able to... We're funded primarily through insurance, but it's really the donations, the support of the community that makes us better. And we've been able to do that with a variety of equipment. Like I talked about the ventilator before, we've actually got a device now that if somebody needs CPR in the aircraft, that's very hard to do. So we now have a device that you can strap around the patient that can help do that.
Mechanical.
Right, a mechanical CPR device, essentially, that's very helpful. Another thing that we've been able to do it's actually a neat story. I just heard this story the other day. We have an ultrasound device that you can hold in your hand, connects to a phone as the monitor, and then can provide that visual image that you don't have to intrusively go into a body to see something inside. So it could be helpful with internal bleeding, for example. It could even be helpful looking at a heart. obviously you can use a stethoscope, but you know, trying to see beyond that and truly see beyond that, we can use this ultrasound device. We were using it in a small hospital in central New York, a month or two ago. And because the doctor was trying to see a little bit more of what was going on. And we said, well, we can do that with this. And he's like, he had never seen one of these before.
Wow, that's crazy.
And so he was going, how do I get one of those for my hospital? So, you know, as an example of that's the type of care. I mean, we're like a flying ICU without the doc.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a really phenomenal capability. And so with that, all this capability is great. And the medical equipment we have, we'll be able to transfer as we go to a new aircraft. But we are in the process now of putting those pieces together. And we hope we're hoping later this summer to be able to provide a big announcement on that. But maybe by the time we're talking next year, you know, about this time of year, we'll be actually using a new aircraft as well. So that's pretty exciting.
That is exciting. And you have to also realize that you need people to run these operations, this equipment that you have. So you have the top-notch, highly trained, they medics?
We do. So, from the front end of the aircraft, our pilots. We have a benefit of having places like Fort Drum not too far away, so we get a lot of really experienced pilots to come to us, whether they come from military or from other civilian type of jobs. So that's good up front because it's challenging flying. And we're doing things like flying with night vision goggles and landing in places that on tops of buildings and all kinds of stuff. But in the back end of the aircraft where the care is provided, we have outstanding flight paramedics and flight nurses. These are literally kind of the best of the paramedics that go through, you know, working in a ground ambulance, have a desire to do this skill up, working with some critically sick and injured patients in the air. And so we get those. And then on the nurse side, we have nurses that already have experience in an emergency room or an ICU setting. You combine that paramedic with that nurse, and they can just do so much to provide the care that's needed.
That golden hour, right? I always remember the golden hour. That's when people have an accident, like on the throughway or something
like
that.
It is, time.
Time is everything.
Well, actually, with a stroke patient, I've heard the phrase, time is brain.
Yeah.
And that's really what you're talking about, is by reducing the time from when the incident occurs until they get to that place where the ultimate care needs to be provided, such as like a Strong or an RGH, a comprehensive stroke center, for example. Once you get them there, they can really stop how the patient is degrading and really reverse that process for that patient and you know, help them to heal. And so we get them there, and we get them there quickly, and we can provide care en route.
And I don't think people also realize that you guys are a nonprofit.
Right.
I mean, like you said, it's funding from events. We're going to talk about some events you have coming up like that, and people just giving because, well, there's a lot of people walking this earth today that wouldn't be here if it wasn't for one of your helicopters.
We're unique. Most of the country, their services are provided by large for-profit, nationally based companies.
Right. There's for-profit in the state,
this area,
right?
Yep. In this area, too. And, I mean, they provide good care, but it's a very different business model.
Sure.
And they're not necessarily committed to the Finger Lakes. I mean, here, this is where we started in Canandaigua, and we'll always be here. So, you know, we're very committed. And that's where, as a charitable organization, we receive those donations from the community. And so, I mean, some folks listening today may have received something in the mail before. You know, we ask you to consider putting a check and sending that back in. And you can donate online. And like as you mentioned, we have some events coming up that they'll have people have an opportunity to as well.
What I've always said about Mercy Flight Central, too, is let's be so thankful that you're there and hope we never need you.
I totally get it if you say you don't want to ride in my helicopter.
Yes, yeah.
I wish you wouldn't have to.
Up front, I will.
That's right. That's right. It's one of those rides you never want, but boy, are you glad we're here.
Yeah, yeah. You're very fortunate that you guys are here. So let's talk about it. The golf tournament, it's actually something that you and I won a couple of years ago.
That's right. How about that?
Wow. That shows you what kind of competition we had, right?
That says anybody can come and have a good time.
That means anybody can golf. Monday, June 21st. That's the first day of summer.
There we go. We're
Cobblestone
looking forward to
Creek.
That.
Yes. If you've never played Cobblestone Creek, bring a few extra balls. But it's a gorgeous, gorgeous course.
Yeah, it's a fun time. They do a great job with tournaments there.
Yeah, so. yeah they do. And the food afterwards, too, and everything.
Yeah, and we're going to try to do all that stuff this year. We'll be able to do it safely, so nobody has to have any concerns from the from making sure stuff is clean and ready from that aspect. But we were able to do it last year, and we'll able to have a little bit more flexibility this year. So we've been, you know, it's a great opportunity for the community to have some fun while contributing to a great cause.
How do we get signed up for the golf tournament?
So you can go on, let's see here. I think you can do it via our Facebook site. That's one way to find out, and you can also go online to our website, just the mercyflightcentral.org website, and so either through both of those, and either give us a call or just online you can apply directly.
And know. Always remember Mercy Flight Central.
That's right.
Because we're Central New York.
We are. We're Central. We support the Finger Lakes in Central New York. There actually is another Mercy Flight based out of Buffalo, and they do great work. They're also a not-for-profit, so good friend of ours, and to take care of folks that are west of us.
But we just need the confusion to be,
that's right.
You know,
throw that Central in there, and you got the right agency.
Got the right guys. Also, I see you're bringing back Taste for the Race. Now, this I've actually hosted this with Rich Funky many years ago.
Yeah.
This is really cool. You want to explain it?
It's a fun event that we've been doing for quite a few years. We always do it during the Watkins Glen NASCAR event.
In August,
early August, because Richard Childress, who, if those of you follow NASCAR, certainly know that name. He was the owner with Dale Earnhardt and continues to have race cars in his team today. He tries to come up for that event. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing it on a Saturday, and we bring them up, have a lot of fun. So if you've received an invitation for that before, we'll be sending you out a save the date real soon if you're interested but haven't come before. Then reach out to us, and we'll see if we'll have room. We would love to have you. It's a really fun event, and by far our biggest fundraiser. We only do it every other year.
Right.
We try not to wear down folks. We know how charitable this community is, but this is a fun one.
Well, Richard Childress is a winemaker as well.
He is. He's a winemaker.
And he brings some special high-end stuff.
And he also has a heart for what we do. Not only, obviously, is his business one that has a lot of risk in it, but he particularly, he's got an institute down in North Carolina where he's from that does research for pediatric trauma.
Oh, no kidding.
And so trauma is something that's near and dear to him. He totally appreciates what our service is, how important it is, and he's glad to help.
That's wonderful. What else should we know about Mercy Flight Central that you can think of?
We've now been in business. This will be soon to be our 30th anniversary, and we wouldn't exist without a partnership. And that partnership is two ways. It's a partnership with our community that supports us, and we've talked a little bit about that. It's also a partnership with the other providers. And so I'll take this opportunity to put a plug in for our first responders, the folks that are in those ambulances, that are in the fire department and the fire trucks, our law enforcement. You know, we don't even go to a scene, Dino, until we get called to go to a scene.
That's right. Those are the people that say, we need Mercy Flight Central.
So
here,
an EMT gets to the scene of, let's say it's an auto accident, for example, and that EMT says, based on the time it's going to take to get this patient and the level of care that this patient's going to need getting there, we need the helicopter.
Yeah.
And so they tell 911, 911 calls us up, and then we're there shortly thereafter to be able to pick up that patient from that ground ambulance crew and then fly them to the hospital.
Again, glad you're there. Hope they never need to make that call for yourself.
Thanks. And just, you know, I appreciate you. You've been part of that golf tournament, emceeing that
about
for years.
20 years.
Yeah, and, you know, I know you'll be there again this year, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful for a community, too.
Yeah.
And the hospitals are also those partners. And, you know, whether it be the smaller hospital that calls for us to fly that patient out, or it's a place like Strong or RGH that receives that patient.
Yeah, that's one of the conversations I remember having right from the get-go, where a lot of people thought you were Strong's helicopter.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I say. When we're independent, a lot of places the hospital owns the helicopter and then bears all the costs associated with it. And it's, frankly, in a business that's not their specialty.
Mostly, too, because you get paid by the people's insurance.
That's right. Yeah, we're not billing the hospital, and we're going to the insurance, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance.
And
that process is continued to improve as well. We've been able to get into network with more and more insurance providers.
Right.
And there's been new legislation passed just within the last few months that takes the patient out of the middle of that billing process.
Right.
So that's a positive improvement that'll be fully kicking in next year as well. So really some positive things across the board from a care standpoint, from a billing standpoint, and from the community just continuing to be there when we need them.
Wonderful. Jeff, we'll see you for the 29th Annual Golf Tournament Monday, June 21st, Cobblestone Creek Country Club and MercyFlightCentral.org.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Dino. You take care.